This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a surprise guest with us right now, manager of the New York Yankees in studio, none other than Aaron Boone, who you can check out on Saturday, tomorrow at the Roosevelt Field Mall, for an autograph signing starting at 11:30, courtesy of Steiner Sports at the Steiner Sports Store. So that's a pretty cool thing.
That's going to be a long line out there. Have you ever been out there?
I have been out there.
You have been out there?
Yes.
All right. So how you doing? All right?
I'm doing well, yeah.
You still stinging over the loss of the Red Sox?
It definitely stings. You know, we had a team with an opportunity to chase the ultimate prize, and that's why we're doing this. And so anytime the season comes to an abrupt halt like that, it stings, but there's work to be done, and it's been fun kind of diving into the plans heading into next year and hopefully making some moves that'll help us get over the top next year.
Yeah, you know, I lost the Super Bowl. It still stings all these years later, and these guys never let me forget it either. You know, we were wondering, and I was a big Joe Girardi fan. You know, I was a big fan of his, and I was really shocked that they didn't bring him back, and even more shocked that they would have a guy that was inexperienced and never being a manager take over a job as big as the New York Yankees. Now, fortunately enough for you, you were with the Yankees, so you understand what's going on around here, and you understand the Yankee fan and the millions of questions I'm sure that you've dealt with throughout the season. Now that it's all over, sitting back and you look back on what you went through this year, what was maybe the couple of the most valuable lessons that you learned?
You know what? I think the experience of getting involved in all of it, you know, from the start, we're kind of just it was everything was on the fly. You know, I think I agreed probably around this time last year. So, you know, 2 weeks later, I was at the winter meetings, and you're just trying to put a staff together, get to know your players. I feel like having gone through all this now, you kind of know what you want to do. You know what kind of tweaks you want to make. You go in knowing your staff, knowing all the players, knowing the steps we want to take to hopefully take that next step and become a championship club, and just really looking forward to getting back and getting at it with these guys that I know are very hungry.
Talking to Aaron Boone on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So obviously the couple of decisions to leave in starting pitchers during the Red Sox series was the main thing that we talked about, and we were highly critical of that. I was at a couple games, and it felt like everybody was thinking the same thing except you, which was this guy's got to get out of the game. Now, you don't always know or listen to the fans in those situations, and we're not always right. But back in those moments, why were you confident in the guys that you started when it seemed like there wasn't what you needed out of them in those moments?
Well, so you want me to tackle those individually? So,
yeah.
All right. So with CeCe, you know, in the end of the day, I think we always default to whoever we bring in is just going to work. You know, you got to piece together the game somehow. And I felt like in the case of CeCe, there was certainly a case to be made after the Benintendi at bat to go to the pen there, but also felt like we had kind of a plan to that we could get six, maybe seven innings tops out of our high leverage guys that we could line up. Now, there were some issues though. If we had any kind of a hiccup in there, we were in a lot of trouble. So I felt pretty good about the CeCe decision, especially because outside of the Kinsler smoked that ball in the alley.
A lot of soft contact,
yeah. And I felt like he was throwing the ball all right. And I feel like at some point you got to be able to get at least something out of your starting pitching. As far as the Seve, I think that's the one where I got greedy at the bottom of the order, hoping he could get through the bottom of the order, and then all of a sudden maybe we could turn it over. But that's also a situation where you're in game three with a game tomorrow, and you're chasing. So it's like I don't probably have Britton Betances for multiple innings. I have him for one. I have him for one plus.
Yeah.
But you're a little bit up against it. But that's the one where I wish I would have probably gone a little bit earlier, thinking I knew Seve was up against a little bit, but I thought I could sneak him through the bottom of the order, and it didn't work.
You know, it's amazing to me, Aaron. You were great in ESPN. You're great in the booth, great analyst. You had a great relationship with a lot of the managers. AJ Hinch was your biggest fan when you got this job. He came out and said he's going to be great at it. Look, you're a rookie this year and everything else. I'm just thinking of the enormity of the Yankee job. You come out of the ESPN booth, and before you know it, you're like right smack dab in the firing line with the Red Sox in the playoffs. Like you said, you everything by the fly last year at this time, and then all of a sudden you're in the Red Sox with the playoffs with the Red Sox. I mean, living what every Yankee manager, I think, hopes to live through as long as you win.
Right.
Because if you don't win, then you're going to be criticized. And what's it like dealing with that part of it?
Easy, honestly. The job is so consuming. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the people I get to work with. I love our players, which going back to Joe Girardi, you know, I give him a lot of credit for. I walked into a culture of players that were very strong, and I feel like we've been able to build on that, and we have a very special clubhouse. So it's the guys you go out and compete with every day. That's what makes it great, and that's ultimately why I came back, is to kind of chase that prize and the competition of everything. And I've loved that. I've loved that we walk out there and there's so much on the line every night. And you understand the heartbreak and the disappointment when you lose, or certainly when the season ends on a loss. But the opportunity to chase the ultimate prize with a team that is knocking on the door and we feel like very capable – That competition's why you do it.
Did you have any conversations or talk or text with Joe Girardi at any point in time over the year?
No.
Nothing?
No, we didn't bump into each other at all. You know, I'm sure we will. Our paths will cross certainly at some point. But, you know, he's a guy that I have a lot of respect for. Did when I was covering him. And I know he's held in very high regard within our organization as well.
So the perception that we have when Brian Cashman made the move was that he wanted more control. He didn't want to butt heads with Joe Girardi as much. So we have a lot of fun joking around that maybe in a press conference when you pause, you're waiting for Cashman in your ear to give you the answer. So you're like, oh, that's the time where Cashman was butting in to give him the answer. So obviously
Hold on.
So I guess from your perspective, the Brian Cashman influence on you in the decision-making process, tell us why we're wrong in the Brian Cashman is controlling everything saga.
You're wrong. I don't know if I necessarily need to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
I think there is a big misconception about how everything goes down. I'm a collaborative person, so you know, I consult my coaching staff members, front office guys. You know, many in certain situations, very few in others. And, you know, I think we have a very healthy working situation, relationship. But I'd say what you just described is not at all.
Does that perception bother you that people may think that or we think that?
I don't want to say I tune everything. I'm consumed with here and now and what we're doing. So I don't chase that stuff or get caught up
you're
in that.
You're good with that. You relax.
I understand, certainly when I signed up for this, that all those things go with the territory. And, you know, so no, it doesn't really influence me or affect me.
I'm good because we're going to keep it up. So because we have a lot of fun at it. And, it, you know, it's basically I played here and I played on a couple bad teams. And believe me, I felt it too. I know exactly what it's like. So let's talk about a couple of your players. Giancarlo Stanton. Give me your sense of what you expect for him coming back. And did you really ever had to sit down with him and talk to him through his struggles early in the season and kind of say, look, man, we've all been here. I've been here. We know what's going on here and you're going to be fine?
Sure. We had those conversations. But I think the one thing that blew me away about Giancarlo is – was just his focus and his professionalism. And he was the same every single day, even when he was early in the season, really wearing it, going through his struggles. The look in his eye, the work he was putting in behind the season, he was really unaffected. In you know, it eats it whenever you're scuffling or doing well. It has an effect on you as a player, certainly. But he was so workmanlike. He was a really good teammate. You could never tell if he had hit a couple home runs or was going through a rough patch during the week with the way he approached his business. And, you know, on balance, he ends up having a really productive season for us. And I think going into this year, I think he'll certainly come in knowing his teammates, knowing what to expect, feeling a lot more comfortable. And I think you're going to see a guy that's going to have even a better year. And the one thing he's shown really across the board throughout his career, if you look at him, is the more he sees a pitcher, the more success he has. And I think some of the struggles could be attributed to switching teams, switching leagues, seeing guys for the first and second time. And I think he'll take a big step forward for us again in what was a productive year.
We know you have a private event coming up. We could talk to you all day. I'm sure you want to hit the eject button anyway. Saturday, tomorrow, November 10th, you could see Aaron at the Steiner Sports Store, Roosevelt Field Mall in Garden City. So check that out. We'll have you on again when you guys sign either Harper or Machado. We'll talk to you about that, all right?
Sounds great.
Yeah, okay.
Don't take that as an affirmation of what you just said. Please don't do that. Aaron, great to see you, man.
Good luck,
man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Aaron Boone, manager of the New York Yankees.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.